There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on a Friday. Glad to have y'all along. Now, another couple hours to hang out here, and you can be part of the show pretty easily. 343-0106. 343-0106. And yeah, Jeff said something the other day. To the new to the area or whatever, we welcome you. Glad you're aboard. 251-343-0106. All right, that works for call or text. And if you have the FM Talk 106.5 app, in addition, you can use that to send us a talkback message. There's a microphone icon on the front page. Press that, lets you record the message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. All right, it is a continuation of Veterans Month. This is, I guess we're a decade now doing this at FM Talk 106.5. And I remind y'all, too, if you're the veteran, or if there's a family member or friend in your life, a local veteran, please put them in touch with me. My email is Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. Send me the contact info, and let's get them on the show. And we do this every November, Veterans Month. This veterans interview is extra special because it feels like, family coming into studio. A man that has been discussed by his brother and I many, many times, and to get to finally meet him in person is pretty special. Being joined by Army veteran, Lieutenant Colonel, I think correctly, Marcus Young. Good to see you, sir.
Hey, nice to be here, Sean. Thanks.
And we will spend only a portion of the show picking on your brother.
We have to do that.
Yeah, we do have to do that. Thank you, first of all, from all of us. Thank you for your service.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Just like all veterans, you know, we really appreciate the support that we get. And it really does help in our service to know that we have so many Americans behind us.
You know what's neat? You know, where we grew up, we have been Mobile guys, is our community here. And it was really, a light was shown on it with a debate that went on between the governor and some stuff that went on in the state. Yep. I grew up with this assumption, I guess, you know, we grew up in a place that has a battleship in our backyard. We grew up in a place that so many family members and friends served.
Right.
And we have this robust community, like South Alabama Veterans Commission, all these groups. And then you looked at other places in the state, and I guess like a dummy, I assumed that veterans were as integrated into the community elsewhere as they are here. And it's kind of special here.
Yeah, it really is. One of your guests that you had on, you know, Colonel John Kilpatrick, I think he ran the numbers, and the Mobile and Baldwin County area is the most condensed veteran service, whether it be the actual veteran or veteran family members are down in this area. So we are very unique in that regard.
It took a moment to look elsewhere because I don't know. You assume like, well, they're like this in Birmingham. Yeah, they're like this in Huntsville. No.
Yeah. Mobile is special.
It is. And I'm glad this is where I grew up. Yeah, and this is a great thing. I ask this of every veteran that sits down and talks with me. I got lucky to talk to some members of the Greatest Generation before they passed, World War II veterans, whole way to kids who just cycled back to the United States. So I got to ask you about your enlistment story. How'd that go? What led up to that? Was that decision? Did you wake up when you're 7 years old and said, I'm going to enlist in the Army? Marcus, how'd that go?
Well, it's kind of interesting, and it involves JY.
Okay.
You know, this goes back to 1987 when I was a junior in high school and sophomore in high school, and he was already in JROTC, and I wasn't. And so he and my other neighborhood friends were already doing it, so they're wearing the uniforms. I see them at school once a week wearing uniforms. Never really piqued my interest. I was walking down the hallway, and Master Sergeant Walter Pollock, I will never forget him, he's a man that changed my life, who was the JROTC instructor at the time, said, hey, aren't you John Young's brother? And I was like, yes, sir. He's like, well, why aren't you in ROTC? He is. I said, well, I never gave it much thought. You know, so he says, well, I'm going to get your schedule changed and I'm going to get you moved. And he did. He moved me into ROTC. At the moment in my life, I wasn't an at-risk kid. I wasn't bad. Right. I was doing anything. I was just an average Joe, middle row Joe type of student. But he birthed something in me. He says, you know, I see something in you. So I learned ROTC. I just fed on it. I just flourished.
From day you knew you were in the right place.
I knew I found my niche. Because I always wanted to be a policeman after watching T.J. Hooker. Right. You know, that was my thing back then.
Yes.
But I really found it then. So in 1988, when I was a junior, I did the delayed entry program. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Okay. My recruiter, Staff Sergeant Dean Perry, I won't ever forget him. God bless him. He told me I was enlisting into the Army.
Okay.
So I did the delayed entry program. He says, all right, when you graduate in 89, you know, you're going to have to show up. So I show up at the 1989 enlistment ceremony, and the lady says, hey, this is your last chance. Anyone who doesn't want to swear in now and enter in the Army, you just leave. I raised my hand. I said, ma'am, I'm already in the Army. And she says, are you really? I said, yes, ma'am, I'm already in the Army. I joined last year. She says, well, did you get an LES? I said, what is that?
So first clue. I don't know what this thing is.
What is that? You know, that's a leave and earning statement. Were you paid? I says, no, ma'am. She says, well, honey, you're not in the Army.
You haven't gotten a check. You're not in.
You haven't gotten a check. You're not in.
You'd walk around and thought you're in the Army.
I thought I was in the Army. I had no clue. And so she asked me, do you need to call your recruiter? I said, well, yes, ma'am. She said, step over and call him. I called him, and the guy in the office said, oh, Marcus, Staff Sergeant Perry just walked out, man. Can I take a message? I said, well, no, I'm at MEP station. I'm trying to enlist in. They tell me I'm not in the Army, so I'm trying to figure out what's going on. He said, well, I can leave a message for him. You know, there were no days of cell phones then, so they couldn't call him.
Right.
You know?
So, I'm going to stand by this phone and wait for you to call. Yeah.
So I sat there for 5 or 10 minutes, and they said, hey, you coming in or you not? Because the door's closing, we're about to swear in. So I go in and swear in, and that's the story. And
so then you were officially in.
I was officially in and never heard or seen Staff Sergeant Perry again in my life.
You know, he's probably standing there going, I just walked out. Right. Is that Marcus Young? I just walked
just
out.
Just left.
This kid thinks he's already in the Army.
He convinced me. Staff Sergeant, Master Sergeant Pollock and Colonel McIntyre, the other instructor, had actually gotten me 2 military institution scholarships.
Okay.
And I turned them down based on the premise that I'm already enlisted because I went to Sergeant Perry. I said, hey, guess what? I have a scholarship to Marion Military Institute. He says, you can't take that. You're in the Army, man.
What, you're like, hey, wait a second. I just had to swear in again.
I called right in school. I should have gone to Master Sergeant Pollock, and to this day, I don't know why I didn't explain to him fully.
Pretty funny story.
But I asked Sergeant Perry, I said, hey, they got me 2 scholarships. He says, you can't take those.
You're already in the Army.
Man, they'll put you in jail. You're already in the Army.
You know, you didn't, and at that age, you don't have the wherewithal to go, why didn't I get a paycheck?
Right. No, it totally went over my mind. Totally.
So you retired now from Army.
I retired last November, November 30th.
Okay. Now, is that going to be permanent?
That is permanent. Very permanent. Taking care of the family now.
Okay. So let's look at the Army, too, from 1989, when you officially, officially in. What's changed as you look at it from your time in the Army to retiring, from when you got in, 89, to retiring recently?
Well, it starts with the training. You know, throughout my career, you know, I had a 13-year break between active service when I was a weekend warrior.
Right, guard.
For guard service, then I returned to active guard in 2009. So it goes back to the training. During my time they call it AGR, it's the active guard service, I was the XO of the recruiting battalion, executive officer. And when I see the crop, if you will, of candidates to enter in, I think are different.
How?
When I went in, of course, I wasn't a big fella. I'm the same height, which is 5'10". I was 130 pounds with everything on me.
Yeah.
But my mentality was, this is what I want to do. I think I entered in a $380 a month as a PFC.
Big money.
Yeah. And you know who had... I was sending JY 50 of that every month,
mind you. Can't let him forget that.
Can't get rid of that guy. But I think the mentality was, you know, you heard of Rambo.
Mm-hmm.
So I was Rambro. You know, I thought I was that guy that was going to take over and just kill all ready, the, I was going to kill everybody.
Yes.
All the enemies of the United States.
Yeah, give me my knife.
Yeah, give it to me and just let me go at it.
Right.
But I believe the mentality of they didn't offer me anything. You know, matter of fact, the GI Bill, you had to pay $100 a month to qualify for it for 12 months. You had to pay $100 a month to get the GI Bill. So there wasn't anything they were giving us, no signing bonuses, no we'll send you to college, we'll pay off your debt, none of that.
That changed.
It changed a lot.
I mean, you know,
and it only changed because we have to incentivize younger people to come into the service now. Right. So we have to give them something to attract them.
Sure.
Whereas it seems like when I was in basic training, when I've gone through that first stint of my career as an active member, as an enlisted person, was that we all wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We were all willing to do it. We were
yeah, you
all
weren't
to
coerced
die.
Into it. I mean,
not at all. Not at all.
You said from the first day at Junior ROTC, you said this is it. This is for me.
Yeah, I found my niche in life.
Then you were dealing with it later in the career with people that were doing it because it was just
they got something
mm-hmm.
and they wanted to try it out.
Mm-hmm.
And when it didn't work, they didn't say, well, I'm going to finish my obligation. It's been more of a, well, you know, forget it, screw it. I'm getting out. I just stop showing up or whatever.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So I think the mentality a lot has changed in my generation of younger folks and maybe the later generations. I believe the training style had changed. Of course, when I went in, you know, drill sergeants, right, wrong, and indifferent. They could use profanity. They could mm-hmm. curse you. They could call you all kinds of names. They can deride you, and several times they put their hands on you.
Yeah.
And if you ever got invited behind the building to fight one drill instructor, you found out real quick there were three other ones back there.
Oh,
and you know, the recruit came out with his
uniform
not wearing properly.
Yes.
A little dirt on it.
You didn't win that one.
You didn't win.
You know, but from a civilian's view, looking at that, that was the thing growing up, and we're close to the same age, mm-hmm. That maybe look at y'all and go, wow, that's a thing, because we knew it was hard.
Right.
Right? I mean, even though we didn't know all the details because we hadn't been through it, we go, so-and-so's brother's back, and he just got out of boot camp. We're like, ooh, he went through something real hard.
Right.
Like,
it made it changing.
It made it special because not everybody could do it.
Exactly. And then that's what makes the military and law enforcement so exclusive. You don't mm-hmm. want everybody there.
Right. That's what makes it, right, from even makes people want to get in and achieve, but it also gives us the respect for law enforcement and the military because we know they've gone through some stuff here.
Yeah, and they're ready for the fight when it happens. And I'm not saying that they're not now, because obviously we're still the most lethal fighting mm-hmm. force in the world. But I'm saying there was a huge change from the time I entered in 1989 until the time I got out in 2024.
You saw
there's
that.
A definite difference in the candidates, the people that are entering into the service now.
Coming right back, more with Lieutenant Colonel Marcus Young, our guest right here on Midday Mobile for Veterans Month.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
So welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Our guest, Lieutenant Colonel Marcus Young, U.S. Army retired. He says permanently.
Yes.
Okay, just checking. All right.
Yes.
And talking about, you know, those days from when you got in to when you got out. And we did, you know, you're talking about the Pete Hegseth. We were talking about him during the break. And that big, I didn't know what was going on. Call the generals into one. I was like, oh, what the heck is going on? But gives a speech. And basically, it's the things, the tenets you just talked about, too. Bringing us back up to a standard, like the standard in 1989 when you went in.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And of course, my generation, I think every generation assumes they were the best. But
mm-hmm.
I think what SecDef has done is reset things back to the standards that we're used to. Not everybody can serve, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think that we want everybody to
Correct.
Serve. This is very exclusive. So you want the top tier of selections of the candidates. So I believe he put things back in order, and we really needed that. Unfortunately, if we, as we change administrations, you know, you kind of waffle back and forth, mm-hmm. and the military, the armed forces, doesn't have a vote in that. We just have to get behind whoever the commander-in-chief is, and we'll change as the change happens.
Right.
And that's another thing that makes the Armed Forces Service so unique, in that no matter who our bosses are, we're gonna do the mission.
Yeah, they're your commander, no matter whether you voted the person or didn't vote for the person. They are
right.
Yeah, and,
right.
and that, you know, that's it might be a tough thing, but that's the only way to run a military.
That's the only way to run it, is that we all vote.
Mm-hmm. But your citizens first, but then
we're soldiers next.
Yes,
you know, and we signed a contract that we give it all, and that person has the ability to send you this place, that place, change the rules, and you just have to step in and get in line and you know, and do it.
So many veterans like you I talk to come back and they get in the Guard.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the Guard and what that means to you, what it meant to you to do the Guard.
The approach when I did my first tour, did almost 3 years as a PFC, doing my first tour in the active service. So when I got out, the approach that the lady that was recruiting me was like, you know, this is home-based service. Don't you want to serve your community? And I thought I still had a little bit left in the tank. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you know. But I'm telling you, that was one of the most funniest things when I got out of active service in my first day at a weekend drill in National Guard.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It's just like you see on Rambo. You remember the part of Rambo, the reservists that came in to try to find Rambo?
Yes.
It was that times 10.
You're like, what are we doing here?
What is this? You know, these guys don't stand in formation. They got all kinds of different wear of the uniform. But it was really funny. But the attraction that continued my service in the National Guard was that it was just that. You know, you're in your community. You're serving your community when there's a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're right here at home helping home.
Yeah, I mean, at one point you're helping your nation.
Right.
And now specifically helping Alabama,
Southwest
Alabama. Mm-hmm. As you look at that too, it's funny because you tell that I had somebody you may know, he's Marine Corps veteran Melvin Bell was in yesterday and talked to me about somebody's like, man, when they told me we're going for weekend drill, I packed a light pack and everything like I was supposed to with all my gear, and I got there and people were unloading TVs and microwaves. He's like, what are we doing here?
Oh, yeah, especially in November when you have the Bama game.
Yes.
You know, they have the big – they actually brought a TV.
That's what he was saying, the same thing. He went to Shelby, and they were putting stuff out. He's like, so what are we doing?
I was like, what is this?
But you are ready and mobile to help out the community.
Yes.
Let's talk about, we talk about our community here for Veterans Day. We had the parade on Tuesday. Were you there?
No, I wasn't there. I was there at the dinner, you know, of course, the night before.
Yes.
Participated in a lot of those in my unit when I was at the 226 Maneuver Enhancement Brigade there on Broad Street. You know, we participated in that every year. We did a lot of great things with that. And it's really fun doing that and showcasing our equipment and what we have and the type of soldiers that we put into the marching element of the parade. So it's always been fun.
It's a great marketing tool. Back to what we were really talking about. Look at, like, you know, growing up, looking at somebody's brother that came back from basic, and we'd be like, ooh, man, they're cool. Going to the Veterans Day Parade, growing up and going, those guys look tough. Right. Those guys look awesome. You know?
So that's what they have at the unit.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had that at that unit. You know, I mean,
it's pretty good advertising.
It really is. And it gets a chance to showcase that to our community, that those who haven't been recipients of us responding to help them in the emergency or disaster situation, that they see the capability that's right here in Mobile.
Yeah, and a lot of young eyes looking at that going, okay, that could be a possibility for me.
Yeah.
Speaking of those young eyes, let's talk about this as we close out. Your years in, you talk about the changes, but now things are maybe changing back with the U.S. military. What do you tell, and there are probably some young people listening, but mostly parents of younger people listen, what would you tell them if they are thinking about this option for their children to get in?
I would certainly recommend it, especially for young men. I still believe that there's an element of discipline that you can only get and learn through that type of training where you're away from everything and everybody that you know, and you have to focus on one thing, you know, and you have to focus on one way of doing things in a team environment. Because I believe that's what our young people need. They need to learn how to interact amongst other people that are different, come from different places, speak different, and all this different belief systems. But you come together as one team. So I would still highly recommend any young person going and venturing off into the military, because I believe it definitely changed my life. I never thought I'd be doing it 40 years, but it changed my life for the good. Mm-hmm. And you feel very rewarded by your service. And not many careers give you that.
Right. Yeah. You could be whatever, butcher, baker, candlestick maker, and you don't have this look behind you and see all the men and some women that right. support you. You're part of this gigantic mm-hmm. family from
yes.
the earliest days.
Right.
So, man, thank you for coming in.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Next time in, we're just going to pick on your brother for the whole time?
Oh, yeah, I got plenty of stories.
Lieutenant Colonel Marcus Young, thank you for your time.
Hey, thanks for having me, Sean.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you here. Always good to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars and talk about customers. Man, you know, I say this all the time. It's not just in the traffic spots. It's in our parking lot here at FM Talk 106.5 and the surrounding buildings. You walk down the road, you're like, LCM sticker? LCM sticker? It's crazy.
I had somebody yesterday say, I see your stickers all up and down the road. I said, they're not sitting on the side of the road, are they? And they said, no, they're at the red lights. I said, okay, good. As long as they're not broke down.
No, y'all look. I mean, seriously, when you're driving around today, y'all, look at the back of vehicles and see how many have the LCM on them. There's a reason, and there are people that buy one, two, like me, multiple vehicles from you, LCM. How do you get that done? Once you get a customer, I have a feeling they're like me. They stay with you.
Well, that's the goal. I mean, we have to. I mean, you know, we're small independent. So we don't have a manufacturer advertising for us or any of that. I mean, we have customers that advertise for us, and that's the best advertisement we can get. Anybody that comes out here, we treat them like we want to be treated. I mean, I know that's so cliche to say, but it's just the way we work.
Yeah, because it's true. It is cliche, but cliches happen because they're true.
We got a bunch of friends. I got two friends of mine. I bought one a Tundra the other day. I bought one a 4Runner for his daughter. I think the guy that bought the 4Runner for his daughter is a listener. We got a deputy sheriff in here now buying an Escalade from us that's a listener. So it benefits you, me, everybody, all of us, my salespeople, your staff, everybody, to do business the right way.
Yeah, and you got a person, y'all, like I told you before, you just pick up the phone and call David. I mean, you have to go through, you'd be like, hey, David, I'm looking for this, or, can we change this? You're like, okay. Yeah, it's just, that's why y'all do this. I mean, you have somebody you can pick up the phone and talk to, see in person, sit at his desk, and look at the vehicles available. I love it.
And that's another thing, in person, I tell people all the time, you buy a vehicle from some of these big box places. I'm not talking about our local franchise stores, because a lot of those guys are friends of mine and their families that have been around for generations. But some of the ones that come and go that you think, oh, I'm getting a great deal because I'm getting it from this, that, and the other. They're going to deliver it to me and all this fancy stuff. Well, if you have a problem, who are you going to see? And I say it all the time. You walk in this building, I'm the first door on the right, and you can get your hands around my throat. I know that sounds crazy, but
right.
If you need
it's
me,
true.
I'm here for you, and I can help you.
It's true, y'all. I mean, everything you just said, that's how it goes down. So tell people they want to come shake your hand how to find y'all.
We're at Highway 90 in Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10. Exit 15A. You can go to the website. New website's working really well for us. Still some tweaking on it, lcmmotorcars.com. We're fixing to put some new signage out front with QR codes, so people sitting at the red lights and whatnot can go straight to inventory or straight to a customer statement. Or you just give us a call, 251-375-0068.
Thanks, David.
All right, buddy. Have a good weekend.
You too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. We get a couple. Let me grab a quick text here. This one's from Robert. This is great. Said, I just turned on, if Lieutenant Colonel's listening out there, Robert says, somebody said, I just turned on your show and knew exactly who you had on the show. Marcus Young, great guy. We had the same ROT instructor. So Robert giving you a shout out, Marcus. So there you go. And it is interesting, that discussion, because his view from 89 to retiring recently of the Army and what happened during that time. You know, somebody who just, you know, we often think like in history, like if you come in to wherever, a business, a group or whatever, and it's this way, whatever it is. And you're like, well, it's this way, so it must always have been this way, and it will always be. It's not. You need a breadth of time to be able to look at changes out there. And I think he had it. I do think, you know, there's something to this. See if people agree with me. I think Lieutenant Colonel did. That exclusivity, in other words, something that's hard to get into, right? Be a club, the military in this case, something like that, actually drives more people wanting to get into it. Like, and I'm going to butcher this, the old Groucho Marx. And I'm not going to do the Groucho Marx imitation, the voice, but it's like any club that would have me, I wouldn't want to be a member of or something like that. But you know what I'm saying? It's the respect that comes with something where you go, this is hard to do. And because of that, I think more people want to try to do it versus saying, well, anybody can do it. Well, then why do you want to do it? You know, at least that's how it works in my mind. I don't know if it works that way for y'all or not. You can let me know on the text line or the phone line at 343-0106. All right. Somebody say, pennies are, from my conversation with April Marie, pennies are tin alloy coated with copper. Yeah, I'm just thinking, somebody sent a picture the other day. I like this. Is like doing a, that would, because I guess we can, you're always told you can't deface U.S. currency, but we got the dang penny smashers. Like my son likes, you know, we go somewhere. I'm like, hey, look at the great natural wonders. He's like, yeah, but when do we get to go squish the penny and get the, so you use them for floor, like a mosaic tile. Somebody sent that picture yesterday. I loved it. Paul said, you know what's sad, Sean? I'm just as close to 80 as I am to when I was an Auburn student. Let me think. 30. Oh, I'm even closer. Because I started school pretty early. 17 when I went up to University of Alabama. So, and I'm 53. Yeah, I'm even closer to 80 than you are. Paul, thanks. Thanks for that warm thought here on a Friday. Do we have time here? I do want to play this, though. And this is something I heard this morning. I do want to play this clip. Usually, I mean, we play the news. We just played the news a second ago. But I want to play it as we can listen together as a group, right, with the mic on. I'm going to play something here from our news partners and friends over at WKRG. I think this either shows my immaturity or, like Paul was talking about, how old I am versus how young people are getting into media. I'm going to play a little clip, and I'm going to stop it and see if anybody else has the reaction I did. Let's go. Okay, let me cut one. Here we go.
Good morning, I'm Shimani Baker for WKRG News 5.
So we're doing the news.
An animal rescue group in Baldwin County has taken in almost 100 cats after a woman in East Central Alabama was arrested on animal cruelty charges. 58-year-old Lisa Miller was arrested earlier this week and charged with animal cruelty after the cats were found abandoned at a home in Dadeville. Angie's Doghouse has turned into mostly a cat house after
Can we go back to it's a story. It's a nice story about some rescued cats that got rescued, right? So can we go back to it?
In Dadeville.
Okay,
Angie's
Dadeville.
Doghouse has turned into mostly a cat house after taking in.
Mostly a cat house. Mostly a cat house these days. Now, that probably got more attention for that story than if it was just not included. Did that give anybody else pause? It has turned into a cat house. And who knew? Who knew that that could happen that easily? But there's obviously advertising for a cat house out there. All right. Maybe it's an age thing. If there's anybody else in my age or my age and immaturity, please let me know. All right. I heard them talk about this morning some on Mobile Mornings. People, I guess, saw a plane, hit social media, thought J.D. Vance was in town. Story from WPMI says, a plane painted with the United States of America, end quote, caused a stir Thursday at the Gulf Shores International Airport, with some online speculation that the plane was Air Force Two, the plane typically used by the vice president. According to an airport spokesperson, the plane is a transport plane which did pattern flights at the airport, and it is not Air Force Two. Says flight tracking website Flight Radar 24. Isn't it 24/7? One of those things I follow on Twitter, X, whatever. Identify the plane as a C-40 Clipper that is registered to the United States Air Force. According to the track, the flight originated from Scott Air Force Base outside of St. Louis. I don't know why I said St. Louis, and flew directly to Gulf Shores, where it performed multiple touch-and-go landings before it did the final landing. I like the fact that what you have is even the military, so two things out of this. First of all, it did not turn out to be Air Force Two. Could it be an Air Force Two decoy plane? I don't know. And also, there'll be some people in South Baldwin that get this, and people that know anybody from Missouri. The fact that there was... Even the military travels from Missouri down to South Baldwin for vacation. There's an influx of people from Missouri. I mean, I think John Sharp and I have talked about it. The stats for the airport in Gulf Shores, the number of flights. You know, they have the directs in there. The number of flights coming in from like Missouri, I think North Arkansas, that area, big hotbed for people coming to Gulf Shores. All right, some people that are, see, Norm in West Mobile, what's up? Norm said, Sean, get your mind out of the gutter. Laugh out loud. This person says, Sean, you're killing me, bro. Mostly a cat house. And so not entirely, right? So textures are not entirely a cat house. He said mostly, Shimani on that report says mostly a cat house. I don't know if you got like a little coffee shop also, but mostly a... Mostly a cat house. Otto says, Sean, I think that contributions to that cat house can get quite expensive. Texture says, I need a price list and location for the cat house. Good. I'm glad that I wasn't alone when I heard that news report this morning. Welcome to the show, my older, immature friends. You're in the right place. It's Midday Mobile, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Sometimes you just have to let the Nugent play. Motor City Madman. All right, 1251 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Oh, and also, I'm waiting to hear this in the future. I started thinking about this over the last few days, talking about the lawsuits for the people that were spied on, like Coach Tuberville, Senator, and all that. You think Fox News, you're going to hear this ad at some point? Have you been spied on by the Biden administration? You may be entitled to compensation from the American taxpayer. I'm just waiting for those ads to start running on Fox. Were you spied on? We can help you now. Let's see more. the cat house stuff is very funny. Thank you. And now this texture is a picture. Because I remember, I don't know how old I was, but because somebody sent me a picture of a dollhouse thing that a cat can get in, like a cat house. I remember the first time I heard that. One of my buddies was, we were teenagers and we're somebody's aunt's house, I think. And she had cats and there's like, and here's my cat house. And all of us at like 16 years old had to go walk outside, remember the days of the sliding glass door, open the sliding glass door to walk outside and go, she said, you know what she, okay. Update on SNAP, I guess, as we talk about the government back on the tracks and going here. For Blanyap, Scott Johnson writes, SNAP benefits have begun immediately flowing to Alabamians enrolled in federally funded food program. Alabama Department of Human Resources announced yesterday that full benefits are restored and reimbursed since Congress had reached an agreement to refund and reopen the federal government. I wonder what that, I would love to hear some stats. Any of y'all work in the grocery world, did you see a reduction of traffic in like headcount or whatever, receipts. I don't know what you have access to during the shutdown portion. I mean, did it show up at 2%, 0%, 15%? What was it? Be interesting to me to hear how that played out. I mean, how big of a difference it made. Because, I mean, there's some of this, right, that is, we talk about the curtailing of SNAP benefits. Here's what I'd like to see is an audit, right? I like Jeff and April Marie. I'm this screaming, bleeding heart liberal, right? I do believe in a safety net because we've set it up in this country. If Americans fall on bad times, we have a safety net for them to get back on their feet. We just don't want the safety net to become a hammock, right? But what was the it's taxpayer money that goes to private business too, right? So it's not just, I mean, everybody thinks about the user of the SNAP benefit, that person using it, EBT SNAP. What does it mean for the private businesses that sell food, right? You go to different places, no EBT, yes EBT, not like grocery stores, but like convenience or whatever. This is a yes takes EBT, no doesn't take EBT. You know, wouldn't you always take it? I mean, if I'm a, or maybe there's some trappings that go on with it, but if I'm a private business and people are going to spend money with me, I don't know. Just what kind of reduction was it for the private sector without having the SNAP benefits out there? By the way, too, you're going to hear this come up in session this next year in 2026. A bill, and we discussed it in the past about, I think this one's interesting because you can demagogue this thing, but then you can also use critical thinking and do it another way. And you're going to have to put yourself in the shoes of saying, okay, SNAP benefits are a thing, they're happening, all right? And so you can't, in this discussion, you can't say, well, they shouldn't be SNAP. So put yourself on the footing that you believe SNAP benefits are a thing that should happen. The idea about no hot food, right? And it made sense to me with a little bit of blinders on for a long time. I said, well, of course. I mean, if, you know what, if I'm paying for somebody else to eat, then they can go heat up the dang food themselves. But a bill that's filed, and I think it was about rotisserie chicken. I think it may have some other items in it. But honestly, it's no difference in price to the American taxpayer who's subsidizing, right? Whether somebody gets a, they take, all the chickens arrive at the same temperature to cook, right? So we've got all these chickens. We got the lemon pepper, we got the barbecue, whatever. You know, and I like a rotisserie chicken. I had some last night. You got these, so they make the same temperature. But because of the way the law is, these chickens over here don't get to stay hot. They get down to cooler temperature, refrigerator temperature. The EBT person can buy that chicken. Now, they both went to the same temperature to get them cooked. But the EBT person's not, they've got to now, I would argue they have to pay money to cool down the previously hot chicken to make it viable for the EBT, where the just keeping it the temperature or hotter temperature after it comes out of the rotisserie is not available. So there's a bill, I think it's been pre-filed, to make EBT cards, SNAP benefits, be able to buy warm rotisserie chicken. So I went through that exercise. At first, I was like, "Yeah, why would?" And then I thought about it. I'm like, it's no extra money for the taxpayer. Whether somebody buys the hot plate, whatever the heat lamp thing chicken, or they buy one that's already cooled down. All right, to the text line here. Let's see, catch up. Cat house. I've never said cat house so many times in a row. Okay, so this texture says, Sean, as a customer, I can tell you the meat section wasn't picked over like usual by folks on welfare. Okay, so the meats weren't bought. Adam said, where is Grocery World? I don't know. It's Grocery World. in this strange land that exists in my brain, Adam. We're going to go down to Grocery World. this from, should I use your, I'll just, well, it's your first name. This is from Rick, who is a master sergeant, retired U.S. Army. Thank you, Rick. Said, I just made a $200 donation to Angie's Doghouse to help rescue the cats. I issue a challenge to all of you to match it. So if you want to go give money to the cat house, is what Master Sergeant's saying. He's already given 200. Let's see, Michael, about the go up here far enough. There we go. Rouse's on Old Shell was really nice and less hectic while Snap and EBT were out. They had a better selection of seafood. Those were the days. Also, I-65 is a crawl just north of St. Stephen's. And so I appreciate this coming from y'all. Did you see a difference in the store? I'm also interested if somebody works in the – and you keep – I don't out anybody here. You could be unnamed texter or something. I'm not – did you see a difference in your receipts? So anecdotally, I got to imagine you did from people who are texting in now. But if you worked in the business, was it off by 5%, 10%, no percent? CB Carl said, Sean, when I was in high school, I had my feet up on a desk once in a disciplinary and knocked them down and asked, what do you think? This is a bordello? I had to go look it up, but it was a valuable learning experience. It's another fun word, isn't it? All right. Fun words continue in hour number two of Midday Mobile, just minutes away.